Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We're in the middle of a life-changing series of studies, Salvation by Faith Alone, Paul's letter to Christians in Rome, but also to us. Today, we're looking at the faith of Abraham. What was it about Abraham that commended him to God in spite of his imperfections? I know you'll be blessed, and we're glad you're with us. We're glad to be together again as a team. We've got some new team members today, and that's awesome because we're all continuing to learn. And I'm excited because one of our team is going to be teaching today. I know you've come to appreciate Stephanie and her teaching. Stephanie, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we're going to share the Word of God today. We're also very happy to hear from you. We've got Hope Sabbath School members all around the world, but when you write to us, we get a picture of who you are. And we just want to say thank you to Donna for writing from Virginia in the U.S. Anybody from Virginia here? Oh, we've got two from Virginia today, Gabriel and Haiti. Thank you for Hope Sabbath School. You can't imagine how much it means to me to be able to watch Hope Sabbath School each week. It helps me keep my eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
That's awesome, isn't it? But then Donna concludes and she says, please pray for me and my family. God bless you all. Well, Donna, we're going to pray for you. We've got lots of prayer requests that come in. We will certainly remember your family. Brazil, any people from Brazil? Juliana, would you like to wave to, is it pronounced Danilo or Danilo?
Danilo.
Danilo, okay. 32 years old from Brazil. She says, I teach Sabbath school every Saturday. I just want to let you know that Hope Sabbath School has inspired me to build a more welcoming environment in my class.
Amen.
That's great, isn't it?
Amen.
When I watch Hope Sabbath School, I not only receive biblical information, but I receive love.
Amen.
Amen.
And it helps my English. I'm so grateful to God for the wonderful work you've done to share the everlasting gospel. Thank you, Hope Sabbath School. Well, thank you, Denia, for writing to us from Brazil. We're glad you're part of our family. Here is a note from Samuel. Samuel is a Zambian studying in Morocco.
Wow.
So this is international, Kyle, right? He's an architecture student studying in Morocco. He said, we don't have a lot of opportunity to worship here, but watching Hope Sabbath School, I find inspiration. I watch every Friday, sometimes on Saturday at Sabbath school time when we have no meetings with friends. Continue smiling for Jesus.
Amen.
It's like a lifeline, isn't it? It's a community of faith for Samuel there studying in North Africa. Alicia writes from St. Lucia. Anybody from the Caribbean? Anybody like to visit the Caribbean? Okay. All right. St. Lucia. I write to say how pleased I am with Hope Sabbath School. Your unique class structure allows for active involvement by the class members, a structure that I believe all Bible studies should emulate. It's quite a blessing for me to listen every week. Hope TV is not always available where I live, so I have Hope Sabbath School app. Ah, I should pause and tell you, if you don't have the app on your iPad or your smartphone, we've got it both for Apple devices and Android, 150 countries around the world using our Hope Sabbath School app. It's free. So go to your app store. That's what Alicia did. She said, I also love the fact members of the class are given opportunities to teach the class. Well, focus in on Stephanie, because Stephanie is one of our class. By the way, we never have like guest teachers, do we? We just have some of our team. And the whole point is that we can all learn to share the Word of God. She says, I like that. This is commendable, and it helps to produce future teachers. Please continue. I'm sure you're a blessing to many as you are to me. Well, I would just want to share with you, Alicia, that not only do we model that here, but we have tens of thousands of teachers who download the outline from our website. You can go to hopetv.org/hopeSS and download the outline. And you can, actually what we do, we have a local class. We give the outline to everybody, just like we all have the outline here. And last week we had 23 people in our class. That was a little bigger than the 12 we're used to, but... Okay, I just have to give you one last note from a person who's working on the Holbrook Indian Reservation in Arizona. She says, Hope Sabbath School is like a breath of fresh air.
Amen.
Keep up the good work. Well, Leslie, thank you for your ministry. And we're just so grateful for all of you writing into us, keeping in touch with us. And I want to thank you also for your support for Hope Sabbath School. You know, we're a volunteer-based, faith-based ministry. And I want to thank those of you that support us on a regular basis with your prayers and with your gifts, because that's how it happens. We're not here to make money. We're here to share the gospel with the world.
Amen.
So if you've been part of that in the past, thank you. If not, you can go to hopetv.org/donate. That's just an easy way to get there. And say, I want to partner with you to share the gospel. We're now in 150 countries. It's being translated into other languages. But it's a walk of faith, isn't it?
Amen.
And we just want to thank you for your support. Well, what we've discovered is no matter what challenge we face, Romans 8:28, God can work all things together for good. If you haven't learned the song yet, go to our website, download the MP3 file and the sheet music. But I know a lot of you have already learned it, so we're going to be listening as we sing it with you. Let's sing it together. What a powerful promise that is. If God is for us, and we're looking forward to studying about the faith of Abraham and a faith that God wants to give us even today. And Stephanie, why don't you lead us in prayer?
All right, let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father and Lord, thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to study your word.
Amen.
And Lord, as we study, we pray that your spirit would be here to guide us and to direct us into all truth. And when we leave here today, that we would be inspired to share this good news with someone else in our influence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
So we have been studying a very important topic in this series, haven't we?
Yes.
Salvation. And this salvation by grace through faith in Jesus. And today we're going to dig a little deeper into this topic as we study the life of Abraham. So let's go ahead and start out in Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And Puya, if you would be prepared to read that for us. We're looking at these verses that speak about Abraham's experience. And we want to see what can we learn from these verses as we begin.
Sure. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debts. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness.
Amen. What can we learn from those verses? What lessons do you see in there? Go ahead, Jonathan.
I just think it's interesting how, like, he's counted as righteous. How does somebody get counted as righteous when they're not? Like, what is it that God is saying here about what makes it so that this guy is counted righteous when he's not righteous? What is he saying?
So that's a great question. Let me ask you that. How can you account someone as righteous when they're not? Go ahead, Kyle.
he must be receiving something that he doesn't have.
That he doesn't
have. If he's accounted for something that he's not, something must be coming from someone other than himself. And in this case, we know it's, of course, from God.
From God, mm-hmm. Christ's righteousness.
It would be like a friend coming and shaking your hand, Stephanie, and handing you an envelope and saying, I'm happy to meet a millionaire. And you go, I think you're talking to the wrong person. And the friend says, open the envelope.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Wow, that's powerful. Don't we wish
you're
we had that,
that
experience?
Would happen, right?
Yes, Daisy.
Yeah, I mean, it's just reading the verses is like what makes sense to us as humans. It's like God is doing the exact opposite, because we pretty much judge people based on what we see or what we know. But here God is saying that, no, don't fall for the things that you see. But here I'm giving you a gift. You can't really see it with your eyes, but you need to have the eyes of faith to believe it and accept it. So it's a little different from what we're used to in our human world. But God is saying, no, you may not feel like you're righteous, but I'm giving you righteousness. The only condition is if you accept it, then it's yours.
By faith, right? Yeah. So what experiences in Abraham's life reinforce the fact that he believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness? Can you tell me? Let's go to Genesis chapter 12. And Jonathan, if you would be willing to read that for us. Genesis chapter 12. And we'll look at verses 1 through 4.
All right.
Genesis 12.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran.
So what's happening here? Can someone tell me? God calls Abraham.
Right.
Go ahead.
His name's Abraham at that
Abram.
Point. His name
yes.
is changed after the birth
his
of his son.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he's Abraham at that point, which
that's
is
right.
significant.
Yes. Because then it will be
he's
Abraham.
Be changed the after God fulfills the promise.
Many nations.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes. Foya.
Well, we see here what stood out for me was verse 4, where it said, Abraham departed as the Lord spoke.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He left everything behind. Stepped out in faith without knowing where God was going to lead him. Hmm. That's faith.
It was faith based off of what?
A promise of God.
A mm-hmm. promise of God. So he right. knew that God was faithful.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have been a promise, right, if he had already seen it,
mm-hmm.
if he already received it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go
ahead.
He didn't
know where he was going.
That's right.
No.
I mean, he didn't know.
And yet he acted in faith. He believed God. And his belief led him to do what God asked him to do.
And I'm really glad, Stephanie, that you included that text, because a lot of people would go straight to the offering of his son and believing, you know, that God would even raise his son from the dead. But that kind of faith doesn't start there on that mountain.
Exactly.
Mm. Right. Mm.
Yes.
You know, someone says, someday I'm going to really do something amazing for God. And it's like, Why don't you trust him today?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That step.
That is powerful, right? Because it's the little things in our lives where God's asking us to follow him mm-hmm. by faith. And as we're growing, then the larger tests, which we're going to talk about in chapter 22, are easier in the sense that we've already been in tune yeah. with the voice of God. Mm-hmm. Yes, Daisy.
Yeah, I was also going to say, although this verse just starts off by saying, then God called Abraham, but it's possible that there was a relationship that already existed, you know? God didn't just come out of nowhere and be like, get up and go, but they had something going on. And I think that kind of helped Abraham at that point get up and do as God instructed. Because it'd be really difficult if a stranger comes to you and be like, hey, I'm sending you over to some place, you're going to be rich, you're going to have this, that. You don't know this person from anywhere and they're telling you to do this. Like, it'll be very difficult to do that. But if you know them and you know you can trust what they're saying, it makes it a little bit easier to actually act on what they're asking you to do.
So a personal relationship. Yes. Mm-hmm. Can we go? I know there are some more comments, but let's move on to Genesis chapter 15. And we'll read the first six verses. And Juliana, would you read those for us? And we're still on this theme of how experiences of Abram that represents that he believed and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Go ahead.
I'm reading from the New King James Version. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward."
Amen. Amen.
But Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" Then Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir." Then he brought him outside and said, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed in God, and he accounted it to him for righteousness.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine having a conversation with God? That's what happened there, right? He had a conversation with God.
Yeah, he did.
And I think it's interesting because he's questioning, "Lord, this is what I see. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing that there is no seed. It doesn't look like you're answering." And then what happens? What happens? What does God say?
He takes him outside and says, "Okay, let me show you in the example of nature, of my other creation that I've made out of nothing. Don't you think I could do the same with you?"
Amen. Amen. And Abram believed God. And it was accounted to him as
righteousness. It's interesting. Yeah. Just noticing that he doesn't yet know him as Yahweh, the Lord. He calls him Lord God, but doesn't use the name of the Lord. Mm-hmm. But in verse 7, the Lord says to him, "I am
the Lord.
I am Yahweh. I am the I am who brought you out of Ur." In other words, it's not just another God talking to you. It's the one true God. I'm the one that called you out, and I'm promising you now.
Amen.
And to me, I'm seeing this growing intimacy. He's going to get to know the Lord by his name. I am.
That is powerful because the Bible says that the sheep hear the shepherd's voice, right? And they know it and they follow that. So that's what we're supposed to be doing.
Is
yes, following Jesus. Okay, I promised you we would get to Genesis 22, right? So let's go over to Genesis 22. And would someone just summarize for me this experience, what took place here in Genesis 22 through verses 1 through 8? What's happening here? Abraham's faith is being tried, right? How is it being tried? Anyone? Go ahead, Jonathan.
I mean, God brings them to a test so that the universe can see, like, the degree to which he trusts him. And so he asks them to, God had, in the meantime, had given him a son. You know, after years, 25 years or so of waiting. And then, so God gives him this precious son that now he asks him to give up to sacrifice on this mountain as kind of testing his belief and trust in him. And so he goes there and he's struggling, and his son asks him these things, and he expresses faith. He expresses, like, the Lord will provide himself a
Amen.
Land. And
Amen.
In that, saying that he trusts God. He doesn't know how. He doesn't know how God will deal with it, but he trusts that God will work, and God honors his faith.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because there are two verses. Verse 5, he says to his servants that, just abide here. My son and I are going to go up and worship God, and then we will come back.
Amen.
All right? That is faith. And then when his son asks, as Jonathan alluded to, where's the sacrifice? Mm-hmm. And Abraham said, the Lord will provide Amen. A sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Gabriel, if you would read for us Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. I can't help but read these few verses because I feel like they're powerful. They represent, again, the faith of Abraham. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19.
All right, and I am reading from the New King James Version. Hebrews 11, 17 through 19 says, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. In concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense.
By faith, he believed if he dies, he will rise again, because I believe the promise that God gave to me that the seed will come through Isaac. That's powerful. Now, we read in Romans chapter 4, we read two verses, verses 4 and 5, and it was speaking on whether or not this was reckoned by grace or by debt. And so I want to move into that section right now in Romans chapter 4, and we'll read verses 4 through 8. Nicole, would you read that for us? This is Romans chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. And we're going to talk about, is it debt or is it grace?
Sure. And the New International Version says, now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them.
Amen. Amen. What can we learn from those four verses? Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Puya.
I think it's important to note here that, you know, if there was ever a man who could have been saved by works, it could have been Abraham. Mm-hmm. He had so much good works for the Lord. And yet, it's very clear that Abraham was saved not because of his works, but because of his faith.
He was, go ahead.
We don't have time, but he does a lot of bad things,
yeah.
too.
That's right.
And he lies about his wife and says, she's my sister, which was kind of half true, but he's hardly the brave husband, right? He's not perfect. And I think that Genesis records that, because to the Jew, and certainly to many, he was kind of the great man of faith.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But he's flawed. Mm-hmm. His works cannot earn his salvation, nor did God ever intend that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But that he believed God, that the Lord would provide yes. salvation.
Amen. And it was accounted to him for righteousness.
Right.
But who was the other character?
David.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Can someone tell me about the struggle that David went through in 2 Samuel chapter 11, I believe? Can anyone summarize that for me? Or who would like to summarize that for me? Kyle, would you like to summarize that for us?
Okay. Well, I think we may have heard that story before. We may not. Okay. So, David was out one day in Jerusalem looking out over his balcony, and he sees a beautiful woman out there, and the Bible says she was bathing on the roof, and of course, he shouldn't have looked, but he did. Mm. And the Bible tells us the story that that he actually asked for her to come into his house, and he committed adultery with this woman. And, you know, he was the king of Israel. He knew the law. He knew that he shouldn't have done that. And he wrote most of our Psalms, and yet he did this tremendous sin against God. And more than that, the Bible says that after that happened, he tried to cover it up. You know, he lied about it, and then he even tried to kill the husband of the woman that he slept with, and to cover it up. And it wasn't until Nathan the prophet came to him and confronted him that he admitted his wrong. But that's where we see the heart of David actually come through, because when he was confronted with his sin, he didn't try to hide it up he didn't try to cover it up anymore. Mm-hmm. He actually repented and asked God to forgive him. And that experience of David asking for the forgiveness of God to cover his sins is what he's talking about here in verse 8 of Romans 4, when Paul is quoting David as saying, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin." And so this beautiful experience of someone who really had transgressed the law of God, you know, who didn't deserve God's righteousness, but David experienced the covering of Christ's righteousness as he trusted in God to forgive him.
That gives us hope, right? Yeah. Yeah. This is someone who committed adultery, who lied, who stole someone else's wife,
yes.
who killed, mm-hmm. Committed murder. But David did something, and you alluded to it, Kyle, and I'd like us to go over to Psalm 51, because mm-hmm. I think this is beautiful, and Amen. Someone might be watching and saying, I feel like I've gone too far. I've done all of these bad things, but there is something beautiful in coming to Jesus and experiencing that freedom from our past. Mm-hmm. And Gabriel, if you would read for us Psalm 51, verses 10 through 12. Psalm 51, verses 10 through 12. Let's hear what David, his conversation with God.
All right, and I am reading from the New King James Version. Psalm 51, verses 10 through 12 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit."
Amen.
Did the Lord restore to him the joy of salvation?
Amen. Yes.
Have you ever experienced that?
Yes.
You have? Does someone want to share?
Thinking of a story, it's not necessarily an experience with God, but when I was a teenager and I was graduating from high school, my father bought me a car so I would be able to move around in college and stuff, and I took it out and I wrecked the car. And I was thinking, my father is literally going to kill me. But he was very upset, he really was. But he kept on loving me, and I think that the Lord is like that too. He looks at our mistakes and he's like, "Well, you didn't mess up, but nothing that you can do could ever make me stop loving you ever."
Amen.
Beautiful.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. We're going to move on in Romans chapter 4, continuing on with this concept of whether it's earned or it's a gift. Romans chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, and Andrea, would you read that for us?
I'm reading out of the New King James Version. "Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while he was circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also, and the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised."
What are the other texts come to your mind that reinforce these truths? I'll give you one. Mm-hmm. All right, John 3:16. And Michael, would you read that for us? John chapter 3, verse 16. And I know it's a familiar one, but someone may not have heard that, and they're watching today, and they need to hear this word of encouragement. John 3:16.
John 3:16 from the New King James Version
says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life."
Is Amen. That good news or Amen. What? Amen.
It doesn't say God so loved just the literal children of Abraham. Mm-hmm. All right. He loved the world.
Amen.
And I mean, there's a lot of complication of circumcised and uncircumcised
right.
in here. But basically what Paul's saying is the Jew and the Gentile. That's all of
That's
us.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, he's an example to all of us. He had right. faith before he was circumcised. He had faith after. And Amen. and that means we're all included.
Yes.
We can all be counted righteous by faith.
Yes. Amen. 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 Again, it's not the works.
No. Yeah.
But it's the grace. Yes, Daisy.
That's exactly what I was going to say, that people sometimes get confused that it's maybe the works that make them have the faith. But mm-hmm. the faith is a belief in something you can't see. You have no mm-hmm. proof. You have no evidence. And so that comes first, and that leads you to act in certain ways because of that initial decision that you have taken. Because mm-hmm. when God commanded Abraham at that time to get up and go, he had no evidence to say that, to prove that God was actually going to do those things. There was no way he could see the
exactly.
future. But he decided, okay, well, since you're saying it, I'll do it. And along the way, he demonstrated through his actions by getting up and moving. That showed that he believed. So the faith comes first before your actions follow to show that you have that faith.
Wow, that's powerful.
I would like to respectfully disagree with Daisy on one thing she said. I think she has amazing things to say. But she said, we have no proof, no evidence.
Well,
what I think Daisy's saying is every reason to doubt is not taken away.
Yeah.
We have to look beyond what we see.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we've been seeing in the story of Abraham and later Abraham that God was talking to him.
Yeah.
God was revealing truth to him. And it wasn't, people say, is this blind faith? No, it's not blind at all. The Bible says, come, let us reason together. Mm-hmm. So
yes.
God is revealing himself, but still, like Daisy said, he's willing to go beyond what he can see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Does that make sense?
And I want to take it a step further, right? Because Abraham's experience, that can be ours too.
Amen.
God will guide each one of us individually if we're willing to be open and attentive to his word, right?
That's right.
So Abraham has some promises. Nicole, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that there's no age limit because Abram was called at 75.
Amen.
So I don't want anyone to think that I'm too old to be called or there's nothing I can do at this age. It's God sees above and beyond age, so it's a today thing.
Yes.
That's right.
Amen.
That's so practical because they can pray for us,
yeah.
right? You can always pray for those who are in the field. Let's go to God's promises to Abraham. And I'll ask, Nicole, would you read Romans chapter 4, verses 13 through 17? And we're looking at God's promise to Abraham.
Okay, the New International Version for Romans 4, verses 13 to 17 says, "Their throats are open graves, their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips, their mouths are full of cursing."
Is that Romans chapter 4?
I'm sorry, I'm reading Romans 3, I'm sorry.
That's a great passage too.
Romans 4, 13 to 17, I'm sorry.
All
this
right,
is the
great.
New International
That's
versions,
fine.
13 to 17, okay. "It is not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing and the promise is worthless, because the law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham.
Amen.
He is the father of us all.
Amen.
As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not."
Amen.
Amen. So what is the promise there? All right, I see smiles. Who wants to share it? Kyle.
Okay. He calls things that are not Wait, which verse was that? I had it and I lost it.
Verses 13 through 17.
Yes,
you're
okay.
Looking at verse 17, I think.
Yes, he calls things that that do not exist as though they did. Mm. Right. And so he takes what apparently seems impossible and makes it possible. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's interesting because I was just thinking about, we were talking about David, and when David says in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, that's a prayer of faith. Mm-hmm. And that create, he's giving, he's trusting in God to give him a new heart, something that really is totally stained, you know, and not clean. And God gives him a new heart.
Which only God can do,
which only God
can
give. And so that experience of faith in God, that God can do what we can't do, that's like the heart of righteousness by faith, I think, and the experience of Abraham.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Go ahead, Nicole.
But he can give it to us all. I think that was what I see in this text.
Right.
Is that everyone is able to accept this gift because it's for everyone. There's enough for every single person who wants it to actually get it.
Amen.
So that to me is encouraging.
And that leads us into our next few verses. And Haiti, if you would be willing to read those for us, that's Galatians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9, speaking about the promise and that God gives that to all.
All right, and I'm reading from the New International Version, and it says, "Understand, then, that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith."
Amen. Amen.
So the faith of Abraham, how does that apply to us?
I think that it means stepping out of our comfort zone. Mm. That act that he did when he got up and left, that initial act that we're introduced to at least, of moving, leaving his land, leaving his comfort zone, I think it means not being afraid. When God calls you maybe to say, you're meant to preach, or you're meant to go and serve as a missionary, or hold this position in this ministry or something, there are so many things that we don't do because of fear. Mm-hmm. And God is saying, you know, to trust him and to move, that he wants to do great things through us if we are willing to take that step.
His biddings are enablings, aren't they?
And that's a little bit farther down the road, though it's important. Mm-hmm. The first step is to let him save us.
Yes.
And I think the biggest challenge is that we live in a culture that says, save yourself.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Survival of the fittest.
Yeah.
You know, strong person wins.
Yeah.
And the invitation is to say, admit that you are not able to do that, and let me save you. And then I think, like Haiti said, the journey continues. But that is fundamental of saying, God, I can't save myself. I'm a sinner. I want to accept, just like Michael read earlier, God so loved the world that whoever believes, I want to accept that. That's the journey of leaving Ur, of saying, I'll follow you wherever you lead.
And that's what faith really means, right? The Greek for that word faith, for by grace are you saved through faith, is trusting God for your salvation. Mm-hmm. Andrea, you had something you wanted to share.
I was just noticing the word blessing and blessed in these verses, and that first of all, Abraham had to have faith that he would be blessed, that God would bless him as he promised. But then God tells Abraham that in you all the nations shall be blessed. And I just think that connection between faith and blessing for ourselves, the blessing of salvation, obviously, but then also that blessing being passed on to all the nations of the world.
Yes, beautiful. Thank you for that connection.
That's
that was
Hope Tabernacle School, you know?
Exactly.
It's not just about us being saved, right? It's about the blessing
He's
flowing
getting ahead
through
of
us.
Me. That's good. We're going to get there. Thank you. All right. So far we've learned, right, that we are saved by grace through
faith. Amen.
And this faith is in what? The promise.
The promise.
It's in a promise. It's based on a promise. So if we're saved by grace through faith, then what is the purpose of the law? Hmm. Can we just do away with it? Anybody want to?
Nope. You mean once we are saved by grace?
Sure.
Because the law before we is to show us our great need of a Savior, right?
Right. That's
but you're talking about afterwards.
Right. Let's turn over to Romans.
Romans chapter 3, verse 20, and we're going to see the purpose of the law. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. And who has that for me that could read it? All right, Jonathan, would you read that for me? Romans chapter 3, verse 20.
All right, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin.
So the law provides the knowledge that we have sin in our life, right? Mm-hmm. And Juliana, if you would read for us Galatians chapter 3, verses 21 to 25. Galatians chapter 3, 21 to 25. We're looking at the purpose of the law.
This is from the New King James Version. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor.
So in verse 24, what was the purpose of the law?
To bring us to Christ, to
take
us to the foot of the cross.
How does the law bring us to Christ? Someone help me with that.
It helps us to see our great need, as was mentioned before by Derek, that we recognize when we compare ourselves to Christ, we are in no way, shape, or form really comparable, and we need that saving grace.
That's right.
You know, some people misunderstand the verse, though, because then it says no longer under the tutor. Does that mean we can kill, commit adultery, break the Sabbath, lie, take God's name in vain? You say, of course not. The function of the law changes. It's no longer that tutor that kind of slapped your hand and says, you're out of line.
That's right.
Now, David, changed heart, says, I see wonderful things in your law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a change of heart.
That's right.
But you know, there are some very sincere people that think if we're saved by grace, that means the law is done away with. But when you think about it, are you saying we could kill like David repented of, or commit adultery like he repented of? And the answer is, God forbid. Mm-hmm. Paul says,
that's
God
right.
forbid. That's not it.
The law is established by faith, right?
Yeah.
So. Romans chapter 7, verse 12. I want to take a look at that. Lourdes, if you would prepare to read that. And let's find out what the law is. And then we'll talk a little bit about this in our own experience, okay? Romans chapter 7, verse 12.
Okay, and I'll be reading from New King James Version. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good.
All right, so the law is holy, the commandment is holy, just, and good. How do you see the law like that? Has it changed your concept of the law and the commandments of God? Have they changed as a result of a living connection with Jesus? In other words, after you realize that you were saved by his grace through faith. Go ahead, Jonathan, and then Nicole.
Yeah, I think when we come to the point where we can truly know God's faithfulness and that he, like several people have said, pursues us, never gives up on us, that he is not out trying to catch us, these different things, then we're able to be at peace and we're able to look at the law not as this thing coming to condemn us, but this thing that really, I mean, if the law is like something that I can somewhat keep, then I'm always like examining myself and like, oh, well, maybe I can do it. Oh, am I measuring up? But if it's something that is establishing righteousness that is so far beyond me, and the only thing I have is to go to Christ, then I can kind of be at peace in my total need to rely upon him rather than rely upon myself and be like, oh, am I doing these things?
Because so even our best efforts, our righteousness is like what?
Filthy rags.
Nicole, you were going to say something, and then we'll go over to Kyle.
What I was going to say is I look at the commandments as promises. Mm. Once I have a relationship with Christ, I feel like I won't do those things. It's not that I don't want to, but because of my relationship with him, he's going to keep me from doing it. He almost promises me, I'm going to keep you from murdering. I'm going to keep you from lying because you have a relationship with me. I promise you, you shall not do that. Mm. So I look at it that way instead of it's a tutor or it's beating me. It's more like, thank you for helping me express that your law is within me and it's a promise to me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So how can Nicole say that? How can she view the law like that in the commandments?
She has a change of heart.
John 14:15 says what? If you love me, keep my commandments. It's just a natural thing that happens. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to agree with what Nicole said because I think at one point in my Christian life, I used to see the law as something I was afraid of. You know, can I keep the law, and can I keep up with these commandments? Mm. But when you really get to know Jesus and you see that getting to know him is really about loving him, and the law is a law of love, it gives us great peace, and it's protection from the things that God doesn't want to harm us. Yes. Mm. And so I just wanted to point out a verse that's so special to me on this. I just connect right with
what verse is that, Kyle?
It's Psalm 119:165.
Psalm 119:165. Let's turn over to that. And would you read that for us in just a few moments?
And Jonathan talked about peace. There's peace that comes with following Jesus and following his word and his law.
All right.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it says, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble.
Mm. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's powerful.
I have another reading to the verse which reinforces, if you love me, that you quoted, John 14:15. It reinforces what Nicole said. Another reading is, if you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Yes. Amen.
And there's the promise.
Yes.
All of a sudden, instead of seeing it like a command, which I'm going to wait until you break and then I'll catch you, it's a promise.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And it's actually, Dustin in a previous study talked about the vision or the picture that God has of who we can become. Yeah. It's like, you know what? When you love me, you're going to experience victory in me.
Amen.
Amen.
Because that's a promise.
And that's what grace is. Yes. It's power not to only to forgive you of your past sins, but power to keep you in your Christian walk.
Sure.
That's right.
Yeah. Right.
Gabriel, you had a comment,
well,
and then we're going to move
sometimes
on.
As you grow up, you tend to see things of in the fashion of, I can't do this or I can't do that. And then at a certain point, when you do have that change of heart and you have that aha moment, it's no longer a matter of, I can't. It's a matter of, well, I won't because I don't want to.
Mm.
And
that's that change.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we've been talking about that it's a natural response. Mm. So my question then is, I guess we've already covered this one, but why is obedience to God's commandments still important to those who are saved by grace through faith? Daisy.
I was thinking, as we read that one scripture which was saying the law is good, is holy, that's a reflection of God's character.
Yes.
I mean, God himself, because he is good, he's holy. So if you have that relationship with him, which is good, there's no way you're going to do the opposite of that. It will hurt you. Like, if you love somebody, you would not do the things that hurt them, but rather you strive to do the things that make them happy.
Yes.
So it changes your whole way of thinking that, okay, you don't see it as something different. If you don't know God, then the commandments are strange to you. They're weird to you. But once you get to know God and develop that relationship with him, then you become in tune with him. And like, oh, okay, God doesn't like this. Then I'll strive not to do it. Yes, we fail sometimes, but God is willing to give us the power to resist the temptation or to overcome those temptations to break the law.
Yes, indeed. Poya, you had a comment.
Yes, I wanted to read another verse.
All right, what verse would you like
this
to read?
This is from the book of Psalms, chapter 1.
All right, Psalm 1, yeah. And what verses would
verse
you like
one
to
and
read?
Two. The first Psalm? Two verses of Psalms, number 1.
Chapter 1,
the first
verses
one.
Mm-hmm. 1 and 2. Sure. All right, go ahead and read that for us.
I'm reading from the New King James Version. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord.
Amen.
And in his law he meditates day and night.
Mm-hmm.
This verse has been on my mind lately, you know. Mm-hmm. This is my prayer, like, God, I want your law to be my delight. You know, I believe this is where God leads us, even after
it doesn't mean that once we accept Jesus, the law goes away. No, it's where God leads us. And it's no longer a burden. It's a delight.
Yes.
Like, God, I find it a delight to follow your will, to do according to your law, right?
And we realize that it's really that protection. Someone said it's a protection. It's a shield from a God who loves us and wants the very best for our lives.
Amen.
That's amazing. Did someone else have a comment? I don't want to move on without. Yes,
well,
Andrea.
I mean, I'm kind of saying a lot of the same things, but I was just thinking, you know, we've talked about how growing up maybe we had different views, and I was thinking, you know, for the law, sometimes we just think of the Ten Commandments on the tablets of stone, and then we have Jesus, who is a person and loving and whatever. But I've started to realize that when you, that's why he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. They're the same thing. And when you see how Jesus, he came to fulfill the law, and he, when we look at him, we fall in love with him. We are falling in love with the law in some ways. And he, that's character. Why he's enabled us to be able to do that.
Yeah. Amen. Yes, Stacey.
One more thing. I was just thinking when you asked the question, the purpose of the law. If you really think about it, the laws are put in place to protect people. Mm-hmm. Even if you look at regular common laws that we have in our countries or communities or whatever, they create laws to protect, like speeding. They say, don't go above a certain limit, or don't do this, don't do that. Those laws are meant to protect you. And when God says don't steal or don't kill or don't do certain things, because he knows that if you do those things, they hurt you. Even though sometimes the process of doing those things seem enjoyable, in the end it's going to kill you. When they say don't eat too much sugar, it tastes good when you're eating sugar. But in the end you get diabetes or get other diseases along the way. So the laws are made to actually protect us. And it seems like we see it as depriving us of fun or happiness, but actually if you look at the bigger picture, it's actually protecting us.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that. I like to recap because we're moving into a section that I'm really passionate about, okay? And Pastor Derek alluded to it. We've talked about this, the faith of Abraham, right? That salvation is by grace through faith. And then we express that faith by what? Keeping his commandments because we love him and we honor him. Does it end there? Is it all about us?
No.
I have this living connection and I'm just walking around just...
No?
Okay, tell me more about that.
Well, the Bible, I mean, Christ said to his disciples, go ye therefore and teach all nations. It wasn't just to keep for themselves. And so if he's our example, he gives them direction, then we should be doing the same thing. We should be taking what we've learned and spreading it to everyone that we come in contact with, because it's about everyone being saved. The Lord wants everyone to be saved, and that should be our desire also, is to have everyone in our circle that we have contact with to be saved. So we have to share.
That's beautiful. Kyle.
Well, just connecting back to what the original promise was to Abraham, he said, I will bless you, but not only you, I will make you a blessing. Right? So it's not just about blessing for our sake, it's actually so that we can be a blessing to others.
Amen.
Yes, Jonathan.
That happens by faith. It's not something we muster up. It's like, I mean, like the example of the vine that Christ gives, that I am the vine, you are the branches. So it's this... when we have faith in him, when we step out and follow the revelations that he's given of himself, others will be blessed and will be drawn to him.
Amen. Yeah.
So the just live by faith, and faith does something, right?
Amen.
It changes us from the inside out. And then what happens? Will other people know around you?
Yes.
Why? They're going to say, whoa, I want what Derek has. I need what Juliana has. And then what is your opportunity?
To witness.
Amen. You can say, let me tell you, this is where I found my peace.
Amen.
Romans 5:1 says, right? I found peace with God. By the way, this world is in turmoil.
True.
And the biggest stress that people carry, the biggest burden they carry is guilt. And when you have peace with God, that is huge.
Amen.
Coming in and giving your life to Jesus.
Amen.
I would imagine that if we asked each one of you in this room, and even on our viewing audience, why are you a Christian? You could pinpoint that back to someone. Mm-hmm. That person impacted my life. You saw Jesus in their life. Why? Because they had experienced the grace of God and they accepted that by faith. Any other comments? Yes, Juliana.
I would say, because what you just said, yes, is true, but sometimes we can fall into this trap of putting our faith based off of this other person so that if this person mm-hmm. falls, then our faith is also mm-hmm. shattered. And we have to be so careful to not do that. But when we are a person, when we are a person of influence, we also have to remember that it's not experiencing Christ's grace once. You have to experience it every day.
Amen.
And to ask for his blessing and mercy every day, because we will still stumble and we will still fall, but we have been given that promise of victory to overcome everything that has happened to us, is happening to us. And it's just as an encouragement, like if you're still struggling, that doesn't mean that you're not with God. It just means you got to cling a little harder, because he's still got you.
Amen.
And that
Amen.
Mercy and grace is still there. Don't think that you are being left behind. He is right next to you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That is just beautiful. And I like to also go a step further, that usually those who are struggling, right, and they're having to hold on to God even more, is because they're going in the right direction.
Yes.
All right? Because the devil's not happy. And I think that's been a great study. I would love to just keep going on, but
next time.
That's right. Thank you.
And you know, the greatest challenge is to fully trust him.
Yes.
To save us.
Yes.
Christ came into the world, Paul says, to save sinners. I'm the worst one. Mm-hmm. But by grace we're saved through faith. That's the message of the scriptures.
Amen.
And if we look to ourselves, but if we look to Jesus, we're changed. We're not only saved, we're changed.
Amen.
Let's pray that that could happen. Maybe you say, today I need to make that decision. Let's pray. Father in heaven, someone watching the program today says, I need to make that decision today to let you save me, Jesus. And thank you for your saving grace. I want to accept that by faith today. Thank you. And may those of us who have already accepted you, let the blessing flow through us.
Amen.
We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School today. What a journey. And if you made that decision, share it with someone else and let the blessing of Jesus flow through you to bless the lives of those around you.